This morning, we're going to go to the book of Acts here first. Acts 17. I wanted to share with you that God is always with us and that he is always faithful. You know, if I was fancy, I'd probably put it in one line, you know, but that's the point. He is always with you and he is always faithful. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Now, Paul is talking to a whole bunch of Gentiles at the moment, and he's quoting one of their poets. But God is, we live in him, all right? We live, we move, we have our being. It's because of God we have life. It's because of God you can see out of your eyes. It's because of God you can take your next breath. The food that's on our table, everything else. It's all because of him. Without him, nothing. In Proverbs chapter 3. Now, I think that statement was pretty much, everybody kind of knows that. But I don't think very many people deeply think about it. In Proverbs chapter 3, because if you really realize that God has provided every single thing in your life, and you have a recognition of that, then you would pay attention to him a whole lot more during the day. Wouldn't you? I mean, if he was the one, you know, it's like somebody who has a flashlight in the dark. It's a very important person when you need one, right? Like they had a blackout yesterday in Manhattan. That had to be bad. But the person with the flashlight, all those people with the iPhones walking through the subway, they're all very important people. Everybody pays attention when things get bad, when things are unusual, you know, whether it be for whatever reason. But if you really understood and appreciated that every single moment in your life, our breath, our being, everything that we have comes from him, then we would be looking to him, expecting from him, asking him all the time. And this is what God has always wanted for us from his people. I'll show you this in a little bit. But in Proverbs 3, in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." In everything that you do, you acknowledge him, and he will guide you through life. But for you trust in him, right? You don't lean to your own understanding. You ask for his input because he is the one who gives us life and breath and takes care of us at every turn that we take. You don't lean to your own thinking. Ask. Acknowledge him. This is his promise. You know, if you had, like I said, that very important person, that a person who could guide you through a bad time, wouldn't you trust in them? You ask, and he says he'll lead. But it's something that you practice in your heart and in your head all the time. Zach and I were talking about this the other day. This is something that you choose to acknowledge. You acknowledge him and understand what his will is. Many people ask him for things that he's already given them. You know, I taught this at the family camp. We had a wonderful time at family camp. It was a great camp. And, you know, the scripture says that you are completely, completely, absolutely complete in him. Well, if you're completely, completely, you know, that extensiveness of completeness in him, what are you lacking? First of all, he says it in the scriptures. So do you believe it or not? Most people walk around asking, oh, I don't have enough this, I don't have enough that. I'm not sure about my connection with God. I got fear, I got anxiety. You know, this is bothering me, that's bothering me. I'm not sure I'm good enough. Didn't you hear what he said? This is when I tell McCabe, just shut up. You know, I do this all the time. I'm very cognizant of we're supposed to keep every thought obedient to Christ. Every thought is supposed to be obedient to Christ. I'm supposed to think what the Word says. Because there's 1,000,000,000 lies that come my way. And they can be believed. I had a very nice young man at the camp talk to me a few minutes at a coffee break. You know, we were pouring coffee, and he asked me about faith. You know, and he says, you know, he comes from a Baptist kind of church background, and he was asking me about, you know, faith. And I realized when he started talking to me, he had no clue what faith was. He knows what the church and their lingo is, you know, what's the right word for lingo? Their terminology. I just default to the other, you know, I got the different dictionary. But, so, you know, he's talking in the way in which they talk in church terminology. But it's confusing. Faith, everybody has faith. Faith is a synonym of confidence and trust. Everyone has confidence and trust in certain things. It's a synonym. All right? If you have confidence in yourself, in your job, you have faith that you can do that job. Plain and simple. The question is not, do you have faith? The question is, what do you have faith in? Everybody's got faith. Every unbeliever's got faith. The question is, what do you have faith in? There are religions that teach certain things. If you have faith in that, that'll get you so far. If you have faith in what God says, this is eternal. If you have faith in a lie or version of a lie, this is not eternal. Do you follow me? So the question is always, what do you have faith in? God wants us to understand, to acknowledge that he is, and that he is the provider, that he is the one. And if we do it the way he wants us to do this, and he trains his people, by the way, and he's taught us with all of this how he trains us and how he wants us to think and be. So if we trust in him with all of our heart and we don't lean to our own understanding, but in all things we acknowledge him, he will direct our path in life. And it will be good. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, another verse that Zach brought to my attention yesterday. Or the day before. Talking about God, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. because he trusts in thee. You will have perfect peace in your heart and in your life if you stay your mind, stick your mind on God and what he says and what he has promised, because you trust him. That is a promise that's absolutely, completely true. See, God, this is the one thing God can't do for you. He's given you completeness. He's given you power. He's given you authority. He's given you the Spirit. He's given you his love. He's given you forgiveness. He's given you, the list is so long. But he can't make you believe it. He can't make you trust him. He can't make you think what he wants you to think, because he's given you freedom of will. Therefore, it's your privilege to do it or not to do it, to believe it or not to believe it, to trust him or not to trust him. That part he won't do. He will not violate your freedom of will. In Matthew chapter 6, the music changes in the teaching. You know how when you go to a different scene, the music changes in a movie? Well, now we're going to a different scene. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 34, see, it could be dramatic, you know. If I had one of those fans, if I knew how to do this stuff, which I don't, you know, God help me, I don't want to learn either. But, you know, where you could have these screens behind you and the big preaching screen, and you have the words up there flowing, and then you could have a sound effect as the thought is going to change. In Matthew 6:34, he says, the Lord says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is really an important thing. In James it says, don't make promises because you don't know if you can keep them or not. Don't make any oaths because you don't know if you'll even be there. Okay? You got no control over tomorrow. The past is gone. A lot of people live in their minds in the past, and they live in the future. They're always thinking about what about next week? What about next year? You know, how long am I going to live? How long is my money going to run out? I mean, got enough for retirement, everything else. They're always thinking about next week, next year, next 10 years, whatever. And a lot of people live in memory lane. Remember Joe Franklin? Most of you don't. Believe me, you didn't miss anything. You didn't miss a blessed thing with Joe Franklin, believe me. Most people live, in the good old days. It was nice when we were kids. They spend their time living in the past or in the future. Listen to this. God wants you to live in the present. He wants you to think in the present. He instructs you. You can't do anything. The past is dead and gone. Can't get it back. There's no sense in putting your energy there. There's no sense in putting your energy in the future. Right here, right now, at this moment, is the only time that you have allotted to you to think about wonderful things. God himself. Love that you have, gratefulness for the things that you have right here, right now, because you got zero control over tomorrow. And if you don't enjoy right now, you ain't living. Right this second, I am surrounded by people that love and I love and that love me. And this is something to be taken in. This is something to be joyful about. This is something I have right now. And if you don't do that, you're violating what God teaches. Your mind is to be stayed on Him. He'll give you perfect peace now. Tomorrow, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got enough going on that challenges you today, this moment, right now. Okay? You got legitimate concerns. You got legitimate needs. You got legitimate everything else. But you got enough to deal with today. You also have an abundance of blessings that you have today. But keep your mind in the present, because people drive themselves crazy about the future. People drive themselves crazy about the what ifs. The what ifs will kill you every time. What if? I mean, think about it. It's really silly to think about that, isn't it? What if this? What if that? What if the next thing? Job lived that way. What if my children have sinned and cursed God in their heart? And he got into a frenzy about it until he believed it. So the present is super important. And like I said, go to Matthew 6, 11. The present is so important. God trained his people in Israel. He trained them today, just today. Trust me today, this moment. In verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. God wants you to ask him daily for what you need. Go to Exodus. I'll show you where this came from. Exodus 16. They're coming out in verse 6. God has got them in the wilderness, and he's feeding, going to feed them with manna. And he commands them. It says, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man. Who knows what an omer is, a basket, a bushel, whatever it is. But it's a measurement. 16. An omer for every man, 16, according to the number of the persons, take you every man of them which are in the tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. So the manna drops out of heaven, lands on the ground. They're not quite sure what it is. That's why they call it manna, because manna means, what is it? What is it? And verse 18, it says, and when they did meet it, with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to their eating. God just wanted you to have what you needed that day. Trust me. I want you to trust me. Take all you want of what you need that day. If you got two people in your house, you take so much. If you got 25 people in your house, you take a whole lot more. Everybody's going to get everything that they need. But don't take more than you need. Trust me. Right? And Moses said, let no man leave it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left it until the morning, and it breed worms and stank, and Moses was wrought with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. It just melted away. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord had said. Tomorrow it is rest, the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake this day, and see it that it will be seeth. You know, boil what you got to boil, and that which remains over, lay up for yourselves and keep until the morning. So on the day before the Sabbath, you gathered twice as much as you needed. You cooked everything that you wanted to cook or do what you wanted to do. I guess manna was pretty, you could do a lot of different combinations with manna. You could boil it, you could fry it, you could, who knows, roast it. You could eat it raw. But this was the point. I'll provide for you what you need so you don't even have to go out and pick it up on the Sabbath. It says in verse 23, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Break that which you will break in that day, and seat that which you will seat. And that which remains over, lay up for yourselves and keep until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for the day is the Sabbath of the Lord, and today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, it is there and shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you a Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread for 2 days. Abide you every man in his place until no man goes out of his place on the seventh day. And so the people rested on the seventh day. Point was, I'm going to provide for you everything you need today. And if I tell you do nothing like the Sabbath and just rest, I'll provide you what you need for that day, too. Trust me. Trust me. He did this for 40 years with them. Trust me. One day at a time. Each and every moment. Live in the moment. Live in the day. And he tried to teach his people and train them. I'll provide. Trust me. I'll always be there. I am faithful. And he did this on everything that they needed in their basic lives. Everything that he wants his people. He wants you and me. This wasn't just something that he did with them for the heck of it back then. He will provide for you in the day that you need it. Do you see what I mean? It'll always be there. So look at go to Matthew, back to Matthew, chapter 6 again. Always be there. But you know what you got to do with this is you got to trust that this is true, and then you got to practice it in your life. And it's when you practice something like this that you get to see God work more than you've ever seen him work before in your life. Because if you really put him to the test with what he says, he will show it to you plainly. Whatever that be. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on." Don't take any thought at all. This is don't be overly concerned with these things. You know, people like get real anxious. What am I going to do? And I'm not talking about a party dress. Which dress do I put on? People get overly concerned. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, if you ain't fixed it before this, you ain't doing nothing about it anyhow, so stop worrying. Don't be overly concerned with these things. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Now you got to answer that question, and you got to get deep with that in your head. There's a whole group of people on the earth that think that mankind is the problem, and if mankind was gone, then the earth would do great. But then the earth wouldn't have a purpose. God says, "Aren't you much better than they?" The answer is affirmative in God's eyes. Anything else is a lie. That don't mean you don't take care of things around you, but you certainly don't start to worship nature above what God says. Aren't you much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit, 1 inch, unto his stature? I mean, he's trying to show you, first of all, don't be overly concerned with stuff. You can't do much about it anyhow. I provide for the birds. Aren't you better than they? Can you add an inch to your height just because you want an inch? Nope. I can't take away 20 pounds just because I want to take away 20 pounds either. Just by thinking about it, I got to do something, right? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He will provide. Prove him. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or wherewith shall you be clothed? Don't be overly concerned. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then that verse I read to you before. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is know, the evil thereof. God will provide. He will never let you down. Philippians. But you must choose to think, to control your thinking, to live in the moment the way He wants us to do. Otherwise, you can worry yourself to death. You can grind your teeth at night, worry yourself to death, give yourself a headache. I mean, moan and groan, cry on your pillow, and it's not going to change a blessed thing. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be careful. The word careful is anxious. Be anxious for nothing. You're tempted to be anxious about something? Don't be. Instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the instruction of what to do. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard of me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. If you do His word, you do what has instructed us in Scripture, you will have perfect peace because you trust in Him. Remember Isaiah 26:3? It's the same God, same promises. But the how is you live in the moment, in the present. You choose to think what He says, not anything else. You control your own thoughts because this is the one thing God can't do for you. And this is how you prove that you trust Him. Psalm 34, verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord Yahweh shall not want any good thing. The strong beasts of the earth, they suffer hunger. They don't always make a catch. But they that trust in the Lord, it says, you can take it to the bank. I love it. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He repeats this to us time and time and time again. It's in the present. It's with you trusting what He says with all your heart. You're not leaning to your own understanding. In all your ways and everything that you're doing in your life, you acknowledge Him. You keep Him. Hey, help me, Father. Teach me, show me. Which way do I go today? What do I make for dinner? How about that? Like He's present with you. You practice. He may not answer you at that. Well, you know, eat what you want. If you ask me, what are you going to have for dinner tonight? Reverend John, what should I have for dinner tonight? What do I care? I mean, so why would God tell you that? But the fact that you know, I'm thinking, what should I have for dinner tonight? You're in my presence. I'm talking to you. We're talking together. It's because you're really there. Do you follow me? I may not really want an answer to that thing, but you're with me. He's with me. And when He's got something to say, you'll be ready to hear it. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he be withheld from him, from them that walk uprightly. He is your sun, your shield. He will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That is his promise. Isaiah 57. Yeah, you could say all this another way. Is God big or is he small in your life? For most people, God is very small. They tell him what to do. They tell him what they want. They order him around. It's like he's their servant. Other people, God is so far away that he's not personal at all. You know, oh, maybe if God wants, maybe. Because they don't know him. They don't know him. The only way you get to know him is if you understand Scripture. Because this is the rule book. This is the vehicle of communication he's given to mankind. If you just think you know like little stories, like Adam and Eve with the apple, there ain't no apple in the book. Right? No apple. But how many people think that there's an apple in the book? I mean, just silly example, but it's the truth. They think they know, and that's a dangerous place. I think I know what God's about, but I've never read the book. I think I know how to fly a plane, but I never read the manual. Come on, let's take a ride. Are you going? Just think about how crazy this is. It's more dangerous than if you didn't know him at all and just admitted it. Isaiah 57, just a couple more scriptures. Verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal them. But the wicked are like a troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, and there is no peace, saith the Lord to the wicked. You know, God's children, the ones who walk in with him, whether they're long ways away or right, no place they can go, they'll have peace, peace. The people who don't know him, the wicked, you know, there's a whole lot of words for them all throughout the Bible. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. So anybody who's a fool, they're kind of like in the same place. They're like the sea that just won't settle down. It's tossed all over the place. And it digs up the dirt, and it's just murky and full of, you know, sludge. That's what their life's about. That's what a lot of people's minds are. There's no peace there. They're always... We all go there. You all know exactly what I'm talking about. When we don't control our minds, that's what our minds do. Grab a hold of it. They shut up. Sit down. Pick a promise that's in the Word. Stay your mind on God, His Word. He is with you. You got the Spirit within you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And just don't lean to your own thinking. And this is something that you must decide to practice to do. Most people nowadays, you got these phones, right? And they're living in their phone. Now, before the phone, it was something else. Everybody is looking for, I don't want to deeply think about the moment. And they're uncomfortable with themselves and their own thoughts and their own mind. So they want a diversion. I don't care what it is. Nature, let's listen to the wind going. It's nice. It's better than the phone, but it's still a diversion. I'm not criticizing anything that people do, but you must stay your mind on God, His promises, His Word. Live in the moment. Practice His presence and enjoy today, this moment. Enjoy the love that you have. Enjoy your children. Enjoy the beautiful day. Enjoy the moment, because that's all you get. But live today. Live today. And if there's a challenge that comes up, God will provide. Just seek His help. Just seek His help, and He will get you through it, and you will have peace. Because you can't do anything about it anyhow without Him. You really can't. So that's what I got to share with you today. So, Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercies. Thank you for what you've given us this day. Provide for us our daily bread, Father. Help us to trust in you moment by moment, day by day, and enjoy your presence in our life, enjoy your peace in our heart. Help us to practice, my God, that you are always with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You've always told us this time and time and time again in your word and through the manifestations. You are a faithful Father, a Father who loves His children. And I am so grateful and thankful to know these things, Father, and I ask you for your help in practicing them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.